I had one point when I understood, yes, I must learn something. And it was, oh my God, it took years to find somebody. And then one filigree artist, she came to me and told me, oh, there is one goldsmith in the Turkish bazaar that might want you. And then I went to him and I said, when do we start? And I didn't give him time to think.
Willkommen bei Others and Me. In diesem Podcast treffe ich mich mit Menschen, die mit Schmuck zu tun haben. Mich interessiert, welche Rolle Schmuck in deren Leben spielt. Ich will wissen, was sie motiviert, fasziniert, inspiriert, wo sie herkommen und wo sie hinwollen. Es geht um Schmuckmomente, dieses besondere Schmuckgefühl und wie es ist, wenn man sein Leben danach ausrichtet. Diese Menschen besuche ich in ihren Werkstätten oder treffe ich hier in München auf dem Tragbar-Sofa.
Hello, Maya Stolkowska. I am happy to talk with you about your amazing way to came to a contemporary jewelry. How did you find your way to get a jeweler in Macedonia?
Well, I can tell you first what got me into jewelry. So I remember vividly, I was like 5-6 years old and I went to the basement in my family house. And there in one really, really old cabinet from my grandparents, I found a small container of hand cream. And there inside there were glass beads. Mm-hmm. And I took these glass beads and I started working with them. It was just so interesting to do that. I just had a thread and a needle, and I've tried every combination possible. That gradually became in like me being interested to have more, to discover more jewelry materials. But of course, it was really slow process. I think mostly I will use some old jewelry I already had and it was destroyed or not, and then I will use the parts. I couldn't recall if there was a shop where I can buy some jewelry materials, but yeah, I was playing with and then at the age of 14, 15, there was a shop, mm-hmm, that I bought almost everything there that exists. Even this is where really normal beads, just, but maybe also there were wooden beads and plastic beads and stone beads. So yeah, that was the material in my teenage years. Also, I've discovered a friend of mine gave me fimo that she brought from abroad. This was really valuable material for me. I've played with that a little bit. And then I remember in high school, I was in gymnasium, but in an art class. And we made an exhibition and I've decided to make jewelry for this exhibition, and I've used some seeds from different vegetables and the orange peels, and these were the first things that were really different from the traditional artisan make jewelry. Mm-hmm. Yes, and this opened kind of a new thing for me to start with different materials, and then I started reusing fabric clothes, old clothes. I was experimenting. But then I had a break of 2 years because I've started university, something I didn't want to study. But in Macedonia, there aren't many possibilities when, mm-hmm, it comes to choosing what the studies. And I wasn't happy and fulfilled, and I even like it was a kind of a protest that I remember I gave all my jewelry materials to my cousin, to my little cousin, to play with them, and it was like, I don't want to do this, and I will stay in my life misery of not studying what I want, what I truly want. And I remember I was I was preparing an exam. I didn't want to study for that exam, and I went to this time into the garage, and then again I discovered some material. There were bulbs from cars, from stoplights, from my father, really really old car. We didn't have that car anymore. And I've made earrings with these bulbs, just with wires, and I really like them. And this is how I started working again, but with different materials. So practically, I went to the flea market many, like all the time. I would go to the flea market, and in Macedonia, the flea markets, there are so many things that are really considered garbage, but still you will find them, someone selling them. So many times I will see open computers, mobile phones, like just parts of them or different kind of electronics, and we'll just look at them and not really like thinking of them in a certain way or some like to create something. But yeah, like I've noticed that I was attracted to this, and after a while I was wearing the bulbs and I started liking more and more, and I got like really nice comments from the people around that will see me wearing these earrings, and I have decided to make jewelry again, and this was the material. And I knew exactly where I'm going to find this electronic materials, electronic waste. I have luck that family, friends, they own a scrapyard, like a recycling place for metals and electronic waste. Yeah, so I will go there and just spend hours finding pieces that interest me and try to assemble them into jewelry. But I didn't know, and I know nothing about contemporary jewelry at that time, or like upcycling, or that it's a trend in the world, kind of. It was more... I didn't want to make jewelry in the traditional way, like with beads, but also it wasn't possible in Macedonia. It still is not attend any kind of school, like apprentice school. Like here, you have in Germany Ausbildung, that we don't have that, like goldsmith, silversmith, to learn any of this. Techniques, except filigree, but there is a course of filigree that lasts several months. I don't like that technique. And so this is how I started making, because I didn't have any knowledge and technique and I couldn't get one. So that's how I started upcycling electronic waste and creating jewelry that it's not ordinary, let's say. And gradually I've discovered that there is like a whole scene of this contemporary jewelry. Thanks God, it was the internet era. So I remember in Pinterest, I've discovered a lot of art jewelers. And I've learned about schools, but still I was really far from that. Even like not dreaming of like that one day I will be here and studying. So it was years of making jewelry, but still not sure how I'm going to do that. And there was one period that was where I was really trying to live from it, but Macedonia is really a small country. It's only 2 million people. These things are not really accepted. We don't have a scene I can say that only like two other jewelers are not like working in kind of contemporary way, but both of them, they don't live in Macedonia anymore, me as well.
And do you have these both as a role model before, or did you know them after you make jewelry?
Not really as a role models. No, I've never had a role model. I mean, I've never had anyone around me that was even interested in art. Mm-hmm. I wasn't growing in an artistic family or surrounding. But I don't know, it's just...
And also the handcraft or the techniques you have to learn. Are you surrounded in your family with somebody who is handcrafter or can show you how you solder or whatever? Or did you have to learn everything by yourself?
I don't have anyone in my family that has anything to do with handmade things or arts or crafts. But yeah, at one point I've understood, because I didn't have any knowledge of how to connect the materials, and like I had one point when I understood, yes, I must learn something, and it was, oh my God, it took years mm-hmm. to find somebody. So I will go to design markets and sell my work, and there will be like some filigree artists, and then I will ask, can you teach me some basics? And nobody ever agreed and nobody wanted to take me mm-hmm. because of like, okay, like everybody will say, but I don't know the things, you know, it's just a technique, or I don't have space at home. And then one filigree artist, she came to me and told me, yeah, there is one goldsmith in the Turkish bazaar that might want you. And then I went to him and I said, when do we start? And I didn't give him time to think. Yes. I just, he told me, okay, take some money and we go to buy some tools. Mm-hmm. And there is only one jewelry shop in Macedonia that you can buy some jewelry tools mm-hmm. and I bought some jewelry tools with him, and then for 2 years I will go only once per week for 3 hours in his shop, and he will show me some basics like cutting and filing and mm-hmm. soldering mm-hmm. and yes, this was and I'm really grateful for him, because even though these are really really basic things, they help me so much in my work.
And then you look further and you tell me you start to study Mandarin.
Yeah, so there was this time when I was really like disappointed. And it was always, I will come to the conclusion that Macedonia is small. People are not used to these things. They don't have like any kind of concept about it. I cannot live from it in Macedonia. And that time I was learning Chinese as a hobby with mm-hmm. my then boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And I've learned about scholarships. And I've decided to apply for a scholarship to study in China. Mm-hmm. Jewelry art, but prior that I had to learn Chinese, because the master's program were only offered in Chinese mm-hmm. language. So I first went to China and studied the language for a year and a half. But then the COVID happened and I couldn't continue my studies. And I've never got to the master's in jewelry designs in China. But I've learned the language, which was great.
And you have been there?
Yes.
And how was it completely different to hear the contemporary jewelry or jewelry? What you studied there? How was that?
I was only studied the language. So it was at university. It's Beijing Language and Culture University. It's here I was attending a non-degree program in Chinese, intensive course. But I was in Beijing, and that was great because there is a contemporary jewelry scene. Mm-hmm. It's mostly from CAFA, that's the Academy of Art in Beijing. They have a jewelry class, which is the best in China, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely it's the best. Mm-hmm. And also many foreign, many Chinese who studied somewhere in the foreign countries. So they had three galleries at that moment. It was nice to know these people. Finally, like I lived somewhere that there were some people they're doing, they have interest in the same things as I do. Mm-hmm. And it was nice, yes. And I've discovered really, really good Chinese jewelry artists that I've never knew about them before.
And could you find then new techniques and new inspirations?
Well, I can say that the whole experience living in China was inspirational. It's I was thinking that I will stay there for years because of the studies, and yes, I've learned about some techniques. I've seen some techniques I like, but I saw it in a way like, yeah, I will learn that later. I will go in that province where this technique is coming from. And yeah, but it didn't happen. But I hope that one day I will go back to learn some of the technique.
Then Corona happened and you have to leave China immediately.
So I've left China few weeks before the pandemic, and that was the winter break, and I was in Macedonia when China closed borders. Mm-hmm. And my return flight was cancelled, and I wasn't able to go back for many years, like for 3 years it was impossible to. So for a period of time I was studying online, but then everything changed in the world, and I've got to understand that and accept that I have to make another plan for life because nothing is as before. China changed, I've changed, the whole world changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I gave up on the idea to do my studies there. It was a lot of time of waiting. I couldn't wait anymore. I have to do something else, and I've decided to come to Germany.
Yeah, and then you apply in the Academy of Fine Arts in Munich.
Yes, I came in to Munich, but without the idea of studying. Even though I know about this program for many years, like I think, like it's surely like more than 10 years that I know it exists. About this class, but I always thought that I don't have enough knowledge or I don't know, it's just, I remember I will see some artists that I like that were graduate, they graduated in this class, and then like many had Ausbildungs and other degrees before, so I mean, it's, I just thought that yes, I don't have it, and I don't have the chance. But yes, I've applied when I've learned about the way how it's studied, and it's possible also to work and study. It's so really important because I have to support myself during my studies. And gradually this became like a possibility, something to think about, you know. It took time, but I'm really happy that I'm there.
And now which material you start to work here in the academy?
So when I was taking my flight to China and back, I will always take like one airplane company that had really nice design of headphones. And this will be the material I brought. I will bring to China, and we'll look at it. And then when I'm going back to Macedonia, I will take the same flight. I will take this pair I already own, and we'll bring it back to Macedonia. And I collected a few of them, and I couldn't like. It's a really beautiful color. The cable of the headphones, it's really beautiful indigo blue color, matte, and. I knew this would be something I want to create it, create jewelry with it, and but this was the outside, and yes, I've used this. So it's the rubber plastic. What is this material? Rubber, I guess. I use it in my jewelry, but the inside cables are also really beautiful. They're like silk threads in red, gold, blue, and copper color. And right now I'm working with that material. I'm trying to do some, to learn. Like now I'm learning embroidery and weaving techniques. I'm trying out to see which fits the best for this material. So this is what I do work at the moment. Embroideries and weaving with cable from headphones. It's again electronic waste, but a really different approach now.
And super delicate, or in a way?
Yes, it's super delicate, and it took a lot of time to open all of these headphones and take the wires from inside. But I like it. It's.
And do you have enough materials, or do you need some more?
I think I have enough to try, at least to create a few pieces, and we'll see afterwards. If I like to continue, I will have to find more resources for this.
But I thought maybe we can ask everybody who listened to the podcast to send you some earphones from the airplanes.
Oh, that will be really good. This is really good idea, Sarah. Okay, this is a call for help.
Yeah, a call for help to searching for materials.
Not only airplanes, but every kind of earphones that have cable, also mobile phones and everything that transmits sound.
Okay.
Yes.
So this cable, you can search in your cupboards for broken or what you don't use anymore and can send it to the Academy of Fine Arts, but to the class of jewelry and hollowware, and put the name from Maya on the letter and send it to her. So that would be great if you get so much material that you can make huge pieces out of that. And everybody sends and could give you a part of some waste, and you turn it to some pressure pieces.
Yes, thank you, Sarah. This is really good idea, because it's not easy to find those materials.
Yeah, that would be nice if this works on this way, that you've get a lot of material for your work. So during the Schmuck, there's an exhibition in Amalienstraße 14, where Maya present some pieces, and this is also a good option to bring some earphone cables to this place during the Schmuck. So this is also another shout out to bring old unused material to Maya, and there you can maybe see a new piece which she will show. Can you tell a little bit about the piece maybe?
Okay, everyone should come to the exhibition, no matter if they have extra of earphones for me or not. I will be presenting three pieces, necklaces and brooch at the exhibition. And this is something I have done previously, but it's not, it wasn't shown. They're part of the collection that's called Achtung Baustelle. It's in German because it sounds really dramatic. the collection is inspired from the brutalist architecture in my hometown that was covered with fake Baroque styles. Mm-hmm. In the last 10 years, so many of the brutalist buildings that I was used to see in the times when I was growing in the city in my teenage years and university years, they don't exist anymore. And this is this collection is like a homage to my hometown that kind of doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't have the same face as I knew it. Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy if a lot of people came and visit the exhibition on the 22nd of February. The opening is at 5 o'clock and the exhibition runs to the 3rd of March 2024.
And the address is Amalienstraße 14.
Projektraum München Alt. Thank you, Maya.
Thank you, Sarah.
Ich hoffe, dir hat diese Folge von Others and Me gefallen. Egal ob Schmuckschaffende, Sammelnde oder Forschende, ich interessiere mich für deine Geschichte zum Thema Schmuck. Wenn du also Lust hast, Teil dieses Podcastes zu werden, dann melde dich bei mir. Schreib mir eine E-Mail unter schmuck@othersandme.de oder schreibe und folge mir auf Instagram. Weitere Infos findest du in den Shownotes. Bis zum nächsten Mal.